on this beautiful August day. We have two matters on the docket this morning. The first is Gurganoff against the Board of Assessment and Appeals. And the second matter is Eller against the ICAO. Are counsel here on both cases? All right. Well, you've received information sheets that tell you about the proceedings this morning, and you know that you have 15 minutes aside to make your arguments, and I think you know how the light system works for purposes of asking for rebuttal time and so forth. So unless there are questions about those procedures, we'll go ahead and proceed with the Gurganoff matter. Counsel?
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, Mark Gurganoff appearing on behalf of the taxpayer appellants in this matter. This is a judicial review proceeding. The appellant taxpayers and the appellee Board of Assessment Appeals have settled their differences in this appeal, leaving the dispute in this matter between the taxpayers and Jefferson County Board of Equalization. There are also four amicus briefs that have been filed in support of Jefferson County Board of Equalization's position. They were filed by Arapahoe County, Boulder County, City and County of Denver, and Douglas County. And this morning, the appellant would like to reserve some time for rebuttal. We've got three issues in the taxpayer's opinion for the court to determine today. The first is whether 39-8109 makes mandatory the payment of costs in some amount to a taxpayer whose appeal is sustained in whole or in part by the Board of Assessment Appeals or the District Court. The second issue is whether the Board of Assessment Appeals' action in denying costs to the taxpayers in the amount of $962.50 was arbitrary or capricious, a denial of a statutory right not in accord with procedures or procedural limitations of Article 8, Title 39, or as otherwise required by law, an abuse or clearly unwarranted exercise of discretion, or was otherwise contrary to the law. The remaining issue concerns the taxpayer's claim for reasonable attorney's fees and costs for this judicial review proceeding. The facts, the salient facts for the court's consideration, involve the taxpayer's home, which is located in Jefferson County. The taxpayers filed a protest on the home in May of 2007 to challenge the value of the home for property tax purposes. Taxpayers attempted to negotiate a settlement with the Jefferson County assessor. Jefferson County would not negotiate and refused taxpayers' invitations to inspect the home. After an evidentiary hearing, the Jefferson County Board of Equalization denied taxpayers any relief and assessed the value placed on the home by the assessor at $500,430. The taxpayers then proceeded with a petition to the Board of Assessment Appeals, a statewide tribunal that has valuation authority over decisions and determinations made by counties such as Jefferson County. Taxpayers attempted to negotiate through the county attorney. The county again refused to make any offers, and it refused initially the taxpayers' invitation to allow Jefferson County to inspect the home. The county stated that it required a principled, quote-unquote, resolution of the matter. In their petition to the Board of Assessment Appeals, the taxpayers asserted a valuation of the home of $451,000. The taxpayers also hired an appraiser. The appraiser did an inspection of the home and prepared a written report indicating that the value of the home was $482,000. The report did not include an adjustment or any analysis concerning a time attributable to a time adjustment. The report was sent to Jefferson County about a month before the Board of Assessment Appeals hearing and was accompanied by a demand from the taxpayers that Jefferson County reduce the value to $482,000 and also pay the taxpayers' costs for the preparation of the written report At that time, the cost totaled $350, a flat rate for the preparation of the report. Jefferson County rejected the offer and made no counteroffers. Jefferson County submitted its own appraisal report. Its report suggested that the proper value of the home was $516,733, an increase from the amount the Jefferson County Board of Equalization set for the property. The taxpayers submitted to the Board of Assessment Appeals, in anticipation of the hearing, a second appraisal report, which relied on different comparables than its first report, and also applied a time adjustment. Hearing before the Board of Assessment Appeals was held on September 12th. During the week of the hearing, a few days before the hearing, Jefferson County's assessor's office contacted the taxpayers and demanded an inspection of the home. The demand was granted. Jefferson County inspected the home without restriction and proceeded to hearing without any amendment or supplement to their appraisal report. At the Board of Assessment Appeals hearing, the party's appraisers appeared at the hearing. Both sides had expert witnesses. Both parties had appraisal reports, written reports that were submitted into evidence without objection. Both parties had their experts testify during the hearing. On October 24th, after the hearing, the Board of Assessment Appeals entered a decision determining that the correct value of the home was $485,000, only $3,000 more than was advocated by the taxpayers at the hearing. The Board of Assessment Appeals concluded that the comparables used by Jefferson County failed to contain adjustments for the condition of those appropriate adjustments for the condition of the comparables that Jefferson County relied on. It also rejected Jefferson County's adjustment for the decking of the home. And finally, it rejected the notion that a time adjustment was appropriate. Jefferson County did not appeal the decision. After the decision, the taxpayers communicated, conferred yet again with Jefferson County in an attempt to have a claim for costs based on 39-8-109 granted. Jefferson County refused to pay the costs. So the taxpayers filed a motion with the Board of Assessment Appeals to have the board fix their costs. The motion was denied without explanation. Then taxpayers again conferred with Jefferson County in an attempt to reach agreement on the taxpayers' planned motion for detailed findings on the board's denial of the taxpayers' request for costs. Jefferson County objected to the motion. Taxpayers then filed a motion for detailed findings with the Board of Assessment Appeals.
Gaganov, you've given us a very detailed history of this, but does that history really pertain to the issue on appeal?
It does, if you take the case as a whole. And I will cut to the chase, because in the taxpayer's opinion, this is a very simple statutory interpretation case. This case can and should be resolved based on a reading of the statute in the taxpayer's opinion.
And Mr. Gurganov, and I apologize for earlier mispronouncing your name.
That's quite all right.
Isn't the clause in 39-8-109 in such amount as may be fixed by the court or the Board of Assessment Appeals? Isn't that the clause that's operative here, because it modifies refund of costs?
I interpret the language as follows. The operative language is shall forth, and I'm just reading the relevant provisions. The statute is quoted in the opening brief. The operative language is shall forthwith receive the appropriate refund of taxes and interest and a refund of costs. And then it goes on, including the fees of the appellant's witnesses. And then it goes on to say, as may be fixed by the Board of Assessment Appeals. Now, I have not met anyone that I've shown the statute to, layperson or a lawyer, that thinks this statute is a discretionary statute. Everyone concludes that, including the taxpayers, of course, that this is a mandatory prevailing party statute. Now, the refund amounts the statute describes, first, are the taxes. The taxpayer gets their taxes back, and the amount of the taxes is never in dispute that I'm aware of. It's based on a formula. The parties agree that you can calculate very readily what refund amount would be required in the event that a reduction has been ordered. Likewise with the interest. The interest is set statutorily. Not so with the costs.
There's no question that the phrase that Judge Graham referred to does not apply to the refund of taxes and delinquent interest. But the question here is, does that phrase in such amount as may be fixed by the court, and goes on from there, which applies to costs.
Correct.
Whether that makes it discretionary. There's no question it doesn't make it discretionary as far as refunding the taxes and interest and so forth.
My interpretation of the statute is that the permissive word or the discretionary word may applies only to fixing the amount of the costs. My earlier point was that is necessary that's necessary language in the statute to make it operative, because we know what the amount of the taxes are and we agree that they have to be refunded. We know what the interest calculation is and we agree that they are required to be refunded. But we don't know the amount of the costs. And that requires some judgment. It requires, in the event of a dispute as to the amount, an evidentiary hearing, which the taxpayers were denied without explanation. So in the taxpayer's opinion, in which we're attempting to persuade you this afternoon or this morning, is that this is a mandatory statute. The prevailing party gets their costs. The discretion exists in regard to the amount of the into the amount of costs to be fixed. It's very simple. In this case, applied.
Every time someone comes before this court and tells me something very simple, I get a little bit nervous. Go ahead.
The taxpayer's direct case is very simple. I did my undergraduate work in business. I was not a liberal arts major. I don't profess to be an expert in the English language. But when I read the statute, when anybody reads the statute, they come to the same conclusion that I'm attempting to urge the court to reach this morning.
Other than the Board of Assessment and Appeals, of course.
The Board of Assessment Appeals is not taking a position in this matter. At a minimum, as far as the Board of Assessment Appeals is concerned, the court is going to have to determine whether or not the decision that it entered was arbitrary and capricious, whether or not the taxpayers were entitled to a written explanation, some analysis of the statute and or the facts in support of their denial of the taxpayers' request for claim for costs. A summary denial without explanation or analysis of the motion for detailed findings. At a minimum, there should be no dispute that that is an error in law.
And the remedy for that would be
correct.
We remanded for.
I would agree.
Not to award the cost, but just to remand it for findings, if your argument's correct.
In that respect,
yeah.
I think that the record is adequate for the court to reach, as a matter of law, the conclusion that there is the only dispute about the taxpayer's costs is the $350 for the report. Counsel, I anticipate, is going to follow me here in this argument and try to persuade the court that the board wasn't persuaded at all by the appraiser, the taxpayer's appraiser, and that's as a result of the fact that they said that in the decision, the Board of Assessment Appeals said that the taxpayer's appraiser's written report received little weight. Well, take that out of the equation. Subtract the $350, which is of record. These are documented costs. subtract the $350 from this $962.50, and what do you get? You get $612.50 that's not in dispute. So as a matter of law, you could enter that judgment as part of your decision, remand the matter for the board to enter its findings and enter an order to determine what, if any, of the $350 is recoverable. I'm going to reserve, unless the court has some questions, I'm going to reserve the balance of my time for rebuttal. I think I've made my case.
All right, Mr. Gerganoff, thank you.
Thank you.
May it please the court. My name is Eric Butler, registration number 29997. I represent the Jefferson County Board of Equalization. The key issue in this case is whether the language of 39-8-109 requires the Board of Assessment Appeals to award expert fees to a taxpayer when that taxpayer receives a reduction in the valuation of its property, however small. This is a matter of first impression. However, the plain language of the statute provides that the Board of Assessment Appeals has discretion to determine whether or not to award such costs.
Mr. Butler, the statute says shall forthwith receive taxes and costs. Shall forthwith receive taxes and costs. And then it says in such amount regarding the appellate witnesses, because they're part of the costs, as the court may fix. Does this discretion given by the word may allow the court or the board to award zero even where there are costs?
Yes.
So it's it is a bit of a conflict, isn't it? On the one hand, the winning party shall get their costs and shall get their witness fees. On the other hand, court may give them zero.
What the statute provides is that if the taxpayer receives a reduction in valuation, it shall receive from the treasurer a certain type of costs. And that certain type of costs is whatever costs the court or the BAA may award. There is no language anywhere in the statute that imposes any sort of obligation upon the BAA to do anything. Rather, it's that permissive language, may, that is used with respect to the BAA. It is authorized, not required, to award costs. Now,
does the may only refer to the amount? I mean, as I read this, it says, including the fees of the appellant's witnesses in such amount as may be fixed. That's the only discretionary language.
However, I would submit that amount could be zero if the BAA adequately using its discretion determined that was appropriate.
Yeah, doesn't that... doesn't that give something beyond discretion? And what I mean by that is if a taxpayer incurs without dispute, and I realize there's dispute here, if the taxpayer incurs $100 in costs, does that may give discretion to essentially erase the right to recover those costs?
The BAA, I believe, has the responsibility to consider any request for costs. However, it has discretion to, if it's in its opinion, an award of costs is not appropriate, even if it's undisputed that there was $100 in costs, to say that is not a reasonable amount, that was not a necessary amount, that is not appropriate given the particular circumstances of this case. Ultimately, the BAA is in the best position, or the court, if this is in front of a court, to make the determination of whether or not an award of costs is appropriate. I want to briefly address the reference taxpayers have made to language within the statute that addresses when the county may receive costs. Taxpayers have taken the position that that language clarifies that their position is correct. I would say to the contrary, that language mirrors the language that is used with respect to when the taxpayers may receive costs. It uses the mandatory word shall with respect to the taxpayer's obligation to pay certain amounts of money to the county in that circumstance. But again, it uses the discretionary word may with respect to the BAA's determination as to costs. That discretionary word may, permissive word may, cannot be read out of the statute. Taxpayers also, in their reply brief, cited to the Assessor's Reference Library, or the ARL, which is published by the Division of Property Taxation, in support of their reading of the statute. I'd like to say at the outset, this is not an appropriate case to look to administrative interpretations for a couple of reasons. One, we, like the taxpayers, believe that the meaning of the statute is plain and unambiguous. And second, an award of cost is not within the particular expertise of the Division of Property Taxation. To the contrary, that's something that courts are well versed in. And so I think it's inappropriate to look to the ARL. That said, there's nothing in the ARL that's inconsistent with the county's reading of the statute. The ARL also uses the permissive language may when discussing costs that may be awarded by the Board of Assessment Appeals. I'd also like to address policy concerns. In the circumstance that this court determines it's appropriate to look beyond the plain language of the statute, we believe that Colorado policy indicates that the county's reading of the statute is the best reading. If the statute is read to mandate an award of costs, then that, in effect, is going to cause counties to be not as likely to defend even reasonable valuations of properties. Why is that? Because counties would be faced with the certainty of an award, sometimes a substantial award of costs, even if there was a smaller reduction as a $1 reduction in valuation. To read that sort of requirement into the statute where it does not appear in the language of the statute itself and would provide such a disincentive is contrary to the public policy in Colorado, which is to provide for fair valuations of properties. Now, the taxpayers argue that if...
Doesn't just the opposite work here? If the county knows that it's a subject to pay costs to a taxpayer, if it doesn't assess the property correctly, it's an incentive for the county to go out and accurately assess the property.
In fact, here's what I think that does. It causes the county to conservatively undervalue properties to make sure there's not going to be a reduction. And the tax policy is not to conservatively undervalue the properties of those who appeal. It's to fairly value all properties. We need to be concerned with getting a fair valuation, not a conservative undervaluation for those who choose to appeal. Taxpayers, as I said, argue that, hey, if we do our job right, there's no risk. That overlooks a couple of important aspects of this process. First is it ignores that this hearing before the BAA is a de novo hearing, and it is entirely possible that there will be new evidence presented at the hearing, at the BAA, that the Board of Equalization never had knowledge of, and that evidence may make it appropriate to make an adjustment, but the BOE, Board of Equalization, didn't have access to it. Additionally, it ignores the fact that valuation is an imprecise science. What these appraisers are trying to do is to predict the value of a property without actually having it on the market. Reasonable minds are going to differ. And this case, in fact, demonstrates why reading the statute to put a mandatory obligation upon the Board of Assessment Appeals is inappropriate.
Well, isn't that argument that you've just made, the policy argument, appropriately made to the legislature I mean, the legislature, the General Assembly, could rewrite this statute to make it absolutely clear as to what they intend to do. And it's not up to us to rewrite the statute on policy grounds.
I'll say in short, I agree with you, but here's my explanation. We do believe that this is a plain and unambiguous statute and that you don't need to address our policy concerns.
And the case is simple, just like...
That's right.
Just like Mr. Gargano.
Exactly. We both believe it's simple. We just have different interpretations. But it is well established that if this court finds that it's not so simple as that, looking at policy is one of the methods this court can use to determine what the intent of the legislature was. I will say I think that intent shows up in the use of the permissive word may. The legislature didn't say shall receive their reasonable costs. They said taxpayer will receive from the treasurer costs that may be awarded by the Board of Assessment
Appeals.
Well,
it isn't exactly what you said the statute does not say is what the statute says. It says, and a refund of costs, and then it continues, including fees of appellant's witnesses in such amount. So it's, it can be read entirely the opposite of what you've just said.
I think not. I think what the statute says is that the taxpayer shall receive from the treasurer a list of things. One of those things is a subset of costs, and that subset is whatever costs the BAA or the court may award. And that language clearly gives discretion, unlike other cost provisions, to the fact that the adjudicator to determine whether or not to award costs. This is a case where it was reasonable to find the costs weren't appropriate. As taxpayers described, the parties were about $50,000 apart in their valuations. The Board of Equalization valued the property at about $500,000. In their petition, the taxpayers requested a valuation of about $451,000. The Board of Assessment Appeals ultimately valued it actually a little closer to the Board of Equalization's value. Now, to award costs for an expert that were near $1,000, where the valuation or the reduction in taxes that could be achieved even if the Board of Assessment Appeals accepted outright their appraiser's appraisal, even in that circumstance, there would be a tax savings of less than $300 over a two-year period. It simply wasn't reasonable under these circumstances. That is not to say that would never be reasonable. There might be a circumstance where the only way to demonstrate that the Board of Equalization incorrectly valued a property is to go get a full appraisal. And it might be that that full appraisal costs more than the tax savings. There may be circumstances where the BAA finds it's appropriate to award those costs. But this wasn't that case. In this case, the BAA found in its order expressly it wasn't going to place a lot of weight in that appraisal. And further, the errors that the BAA did find in the Board of Equalization's valuation, they could be shown without an appraisal. They were rather simple problems. In conclusion, the taxpayer's reading of the statute ultimately causes counties to back away from defending fair valuations. The county's interpretation still gives the BAA and the courts the discretion in an appropriate case to award fees. The fair, the plain, the just reading of the statute is that it provides discretion to the Board of Assessment Appeals to determine whether and in what amount to award expert fees. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Butler. Mr. Gurganoff, you have about three quarters of a minute.
Your Honor, I'm going to focus then. I don't abandon my request for attorney's fees or costs, I stand at my brief. There isn't time to get into that issue. The more important issue is, number one, for you to properly read the statute. And I've made that argument, and I suggest to you also compare the language in 39.8109 to the language in 39.8, I believe it's 107 sub 1, where the legislature unambiguously says that at the county level, when the taxpayer and the county are debating, the parties are to pay their own respective costs of the production of witnesses. It's very clear. And that there is a difference in the language, and that difference in the language with 39.8109 is meaningful. Now, in terms of the policy argument, you should reject categorically Jefferson County's analysis, because you start, if you want to know what the policy in the state of Colorado is on property tax, you begin with the Constitution, Colorado Constitution, Article 10, Section 3.1, in which they say that the parties or the values that are to be set on property is to be the actual value of the property. Now, how do you achieve that? You achieve that by having the county unilaterally or the county by itself retain expert appraisers and have all the specialized valuation data on hand with the taxpayers, like lambs in a field, arguing against that, the valuation asserted by the counties. No, you don't. You achieve actual value through an adversarial process where both sides are equipped with appraisers.
Mr. Gurganov, your time is up.
I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you both, counsel. Mr. Butler, Mr. Gurganov, the matter is deemed submitted, and you can expect a written opinion to issue in due course.